Welcome back to From a Stranger to a Stranger. This is Issa Martel. Today is Friday, the 6th of Shawwal in the Islamic year of 1441, which corresponds to May 29th, 2020. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and here I am back to talk about some other stuff that's going on here in Minneapolis. So, if you are paying attention to the news, then you will probably know that it is rioting and everything associated with rioting going on since an African-American man named George Floyd was killed, murdered by the police department of Minneapolis. And it pretty much, as you can imagine, tipped off protesters, which escalated into rioting and looting. the police precinct building where the police are stationed in the precinct where this happened was burned down and abandoned yesterday. I'm sure you can find all of this on the news. You can get an update if you aren't paying attention to this and you live in the U.S. I don't really know what's occupying your news if you didn't hear of this at all. But now we are into the fourth night, so it's right now it's 9:15, just the sun just went down, I just prayed Maghrib, I came out to record this, so this is the third night. There was an 8 o'clock curfew, 8 p.m. curfew that started in Minneapolis. Nobody paid attention to that curfew, and new stuff is being lit on fire now as I talk about it. I was at the protests yesterday, at the riots at night. The picture that I'll put for the image for this podcast episode, I'll put up one of the photos that I took from down there. And I wanted to make this podcast mainly because I am having feelings about all this, as everybody is, you know. And I wanted to go and be down there to experience what's going on, to see it with my eyes, to see it firsthand, so I don't have to hear it from the media and this type of thing. The only reason I didn't go down there today, like right now, is because they had a curfew. And I don't happen to have a press pass, so I didn't want to violate the curfew and get arrested, even though thousands of people are. But technically, there is a curfew, and you are risking being arrested by being out on the streets, so I didn't want to do that. But yesterday, it was a very surreal experience. The police had abandoned the police station, and it was lit on fire. That was happening right as I was arriving to the protest. Or at this point, it was a riot or whatever. So when I first got there, I was a little bit nervous, as you can imagine, but you tend to acclimate to your setting and your environment. And once I did that, it was a very surreal experience, and it was probably because, I was, kind of like heightened, my senses were heightened just because of the environment I was in. and always looking around and being aware. And I mean, it was an unsafe place to be. You know, most people would not put themselves into this situation voluntarily. But when I was there, it did take away this type of panic or scared behavior that I feel personally the media and people that are watching it, well, the media puts into you to be scared and to be afraid and basically, you know, follow their way or whatever. In which point they'll divide along racial lines, they'll divide along whatever they can, classes, like monetary classes, between the rich and the poor, where you live, what music you listen to, what things you like to read, what religion you are, all these types of things will be used to divide us. But being down there, kind of those feelings went away, because there was people of all races protesting. I mean, there was obviously you have the black people there, but there was probably an equal or very large amount of white people as well. And so when this type of thing happens, you tend to think that, okay, it's a greater problem, right, than we're being told. Like, we're being told it's injustice to minorities, which it is. I mean, that's flat-out racism, and that's what we're being told. But because so many people are protesting, that it's unacceptable, and not just people of these classes are seeing it. Which I don't need to say, because obviously we've been living like this for years, you know. But it really struck home to me seeing all this stuff happen. One thing I noticed from being down there is that the looting, like, nobody, I'm hearing from elsewhere, I'm hearing that there was violence. And I know one person was stabbed during the day yesterday. But while I was there, I didn't see any violence against the people-to-people. And I was there in the nighttime. I got there when it was just getting dark, and I stayed till about 2:30 in the morning. I was at the third precinct right there watching it burn. If you follow me on Facebook, I have photos posted there. I'll put them on my public page. That post that I put, that's from my private page, it is public, so you can see it, but I will also post it on just my general page so that anyone can see it. If you happen to look me up on Facebook, as I said, I think I said previously in another episode or whatever, that I do have two Facebook pages. One is public and one is private. The private one is generally if I know you, I'll put you on the private one, because I do put photos and other weird things, and it's pretty much locked down. But I do have a public one that I just post like these podcasts and martial arts stuff and this type of thing. So seeing that last night, back to what I was saying, seeing that last night, like, had affected me all through today. Like, I just felt messed up in some way. You know, I used to live in downtown Minneapolis, but now we live about 30 miles out of the city in the suburbs. So I don't deal, though I work in Minneapolis and I work for the transit company, so I'm in these neighborhoods all the time. I know many of the people there, but I'm not living there. These aren't my businesses. I have a very secure job. I have pretty much all this type of stuff. I have a home. I'm not in threats of really my life in any greater extent than your normal day-to-day activity, right? I'm brown, right? I live amongst a whole lot of white people. There's only a couple of minorities in the small town that I live in. So there is that aspect that I deal with, but it's not like it's nothing like if you lived right on Lake Street. And I can understand, there was an apartment building. It's in the Cub Foods, if you know where Cub Foods is, on Lake, right across from the police precinct. There's a Target, which you probably saw in the news. Any of the photos of, or if you heard about this on the news, the photos were from this Target, which last night the sprinkler system was going off the whole time. The floor was completely flooded. I witnessed a guy in a car drive and smash through the entranceway and drive his little hatchback around in Target. It was a white guy. He came barreling out, cigarette still hanging out of his mouth. He looked like a redneck trailer trash dude, and I don't want to stereotype anything here, but I'm trying to give you this image because perhaps on the news, or if I'm telling you this, you're thinking it's all minorities here. Right, but it's not. It's not minorities. It's just people that are fed up and just tired of it, you know. And when it's not just one group, like the whole city is tired, you know. These events of killing, it's all white cops killing black people or people of color, right? That's what it is. That's always what triggers this. In Minneapolis here, I've been here since 2009. In the time I've been here, there have been numerous cases where cops had killed, straight up killed, not like accidentally shot. In every case up till the other day, they were shot. Point blank shot, not doing anything. I'm sure you know everyone that you heard about this on the news too. But the cops get off. You know, the cops aren't arrested. This type of thing. Obviously, this is a problem. You know, it's a problem. Because when we see things like this happen to white people, it's different. Case in point, right here in Minneapolis. The only cop ever to be arrested in Minneapolis as a Minneapolis police officer for killing a person happened to be Mohammed Noor, who is black, Muslim, and he shot a white Australian, woman. He shot a white woman, that's what it was. It was at night. It wasn't intentional. He had thought that she was about to pull a weapon. He was nervous. He admits all this stuff. Him and his partner were scared. They shot her. Right, she happened to die, but it wasn't like what we're seeing now. Right, he shot her. He was arrested. He went to trial. They gave him 12 and a half years. This was 2 years ago, I believe. They gave him 12 and a half years. Right, and people are mad at that too. So that was a good thing of justice, you know, that was done. Even though I would say personally that, his sentence was way too hard, given what happened. But see, the thing is, he got arrested. He was a black man shooting a white woman He got arrested and he was put in jail, and every single white guy who killed a black person for the same reasons, the same exact reasons were used that the police use. I was scared. I thought he had a gun. You know, I feared for my life. Basically, that's it. That if you say I feared for my life, you're kind of given the door. You know, all right, go ahead. If you fear for your life, that's your way out of everything. Right, but here in Minneapolis and St. Paul, he was the only guy ever to get charged for doing this. He happened to be a black guy killing a white woman. All the white cops that kill the black people, they don't get arrested. So, anyway, that being aside, I'm kind of ranting here, and I just put this podcast on because I need to vent out my feelings and what I'm seeing, because I realized I got home. It was probably like 3:30 when I got home last night, 3:30 in the morning. I went to bed. I crashed out. I woke up. Probably went to bed around 4 because I stayed. Fadger here is at like 3:37 or 3:40 in the morning. So I stayed up till I got home. I prayed Fadger. I went to bed after that. I slept till like 9:30 and I woke up and kind of just been on social media and watching this stuff unfold the whole time, basically all day. And so I couldn't get anything else done, really. I mean, it's crazy. I think I would have been able to turn this off had I not been there. Because I was there, it was just like replaying in my head. And when I look at these images I took, I was like, man, like, not being there, like, when I look at the pictures in hindsight or after the fact, it looks crazy. Like, it literally looks like a war zone. But when I was there, perhaps it was because I was in the middle of it and my heightened senses. And I was with somebody else. I had met a guy, Joey Vincent. I was on his podcast a while ago. He runs Filter Free America. So if you enjoy podcasts, I highly recommend you listen to his podcast. It's not like this. It kind of goes through the gambit of everything, but the dude's totally a cool dude. So I was with him. I caught up with him at Arby's, right? I was like, yo, what's up? He was like, hey, what's going on? Long time no see. I caught up with him. So I was with someone. I wasn't by myself. So I was with someone, which is nice because he's like 6'3" and he's a big dude. And we walked around until about 2:30. So seeing all this stuff, when I was getting back to it, when I looked at the pictures now, today, they look crazy, right? And it looks extremely bad. But when I was there, I didn't feel like the way they look now. Like, in hindsight, like when I show people the pictures, the reaction I get is way more dramatic than the feeling I had when I was there. And I'm wondering if it was, like, because it's, like, a shock, like a, I don't want to say PTSD type of thing, but a kind of like a traumatic event that I'm witnessing. Like, I'm there, I'm on the ground, right there, and the like it's like burning around me. Like the walls, I was standing next to Arby's when the walls collapsed of the Arby's. Like, the bricks and everything came crumbling down, you know. It was madness, you know. So I don't know what the thing is, you know, that stuck with me since last night, you know. If I was there in the day and didn't see it, like burning, or even if it was just regular protests and stuff during the day, I don't think that I would have had the same feeling that I have now. And I think it was just because the imagery is so intense and so surreal that I feel this way now, and that I was there, like, in it, you know. I had never seen nothing like that, you know. I had never seen this herd of people. I had never seen the amount of looting to businesses, establishments, this type of thing. Or, I mean, obviously I had seen it on the news and television stuff. I mean, I have never sat there as people right next to me were stealing stuff, like looting the grocery store, you know, throwing Molotov cocktails at the walls of the buildings. I had never experienced that firsthand. So, you know, it stuck with me. And I've seen and experienced a lot of stuff. It was really something. I was saying, I'm trying to process mentally this type of stuff and the impact, like what's going on in the world. What is going on now? You know, this is the type of stuff that I'm trying to process in my head. You know, we have this, the COVID-19 has been going on. It kept everyone inside in lockdown all these weeks. Then we had, for us Muslims, we had Ramadan that just ended. Eid was on Sunday. Eid Mubarak to those people who celebrate Ramadan. Or if you're Muslim in general. You know, that just happened on Sunday, and then this happens. And now these riots are spreading around the country. You know, so that's what's, like, insane now, right? And now we're having other cities, you know, starting to have riots and burning stuff down. It's crazy, you know. What's going to happen? What's going to happen in the coming weeks? You know, the guy who shot George Floyd, the police officer, or not shot him, sorry about that. He stepped, if you don't know what happened, briefly, he had him restrained for 10 minutes. He had his knee on his neck. The guy, he died. And it clearly looks like he died from being suffocated and choked out. The guy was saying he couldn't breathe repeatedly. And eventually he just stopped moving and everything. And he died. The cop that did that was finally arrested today. So we're now 4 days later. I believe, and the general public, most of them believe, that had he been arrested immediately after that, it's on film. Like, people were standing there telling the cop, stop, he can't breathe. Just let him go. Okay, you've done enough. All right, man, come on, man. Like, don't be like this. You know, had they arrested this cop day one or even the next day, you know, once the video got out, just arrested that cop, I believe that there might have been protests and stuff, but this wouldn't have happened. And that's my opinion. I believe that because the public would have seen, like, oh, okay, man, that's messed up. Well, that they arrested the cop, you know. So there would have been protests, but not like this. You know, this is the reason this happened is because that happened. That's what I believe, anyway. So, I forgot where my train of thought was that led me there, but I don't know. Oh, yeah. What's going on in the country? You know what I mean? I don't know what it is. you know, I think in general, people have this scared feeling of everything. And this was just the tipping point of it all. Now the National Guard, the police are down there. We have reports before I recorded this, so by the time you hear it or listen to it, things might be totally different, but in other cities of riots and burning stuff starting, you know, what's going on? What's going on with the world? It's really crazy, man. It's crazy. but like I said, I happen to not have to worry so much about these things. But I get it. The people that live there. Like I was starting to say, this is what I wanted to mention probably 20 minutes ago about the Target. In the Target, there's an apartment building in the Target complex that you see on the news. And the bottom floor of the apartment building has stores in it, like single stores. There's a little post office mailing place that has P.O. boxes, a little hair place, these types of things. They're not very big buildings, but that's what's there. But above them, they're like the ground floor of probably a 6-floor apartment building. So yesterday, last night, we walked over by there, and there were people that lived in the apartment building out in front of it telling the people, like shooing them away. They were saying, like, look, all these stores are looted. There's nothing left. Just come on. Don't come in here. Above this are... There's the apartment buildings just filled with kids sleeping, you know, let them sleep and stuff. Which was kind of, you know, was working, you know what I mean? But the thing is, those people were living, like, in a state of being scared for their family. You know, that's different, a different reality. So you can see how these types of events affect people. I'm not one for looting. I'm not even one for protesting, to be honest. It can be proven differently, and maybe you know, protesting is good. I don't think it does much, protesting. Look at what it's really doing here. There were peaceful protests, but now the city's burning. I'm not a fan of protesting myself. Certainly am not a fan of breaking any laws and looting and these types of things. I think that the way to address these issues is by participating in the community, right? If wherever you live, you have to be part of your community, right? And this is the problem I have seen as, like, a person of color myself, you know, as somebody who's been through the system, as someone who works in a complete minority ghetto, what you would call ghetto hood, that type of thing, area, right? All the people I work with throughout the day of my shift, like, not my coworkers, the public that I work with, our kids, our people from these areas. Generally, I intentionally pick the work that is in the minority areas of my work, right, of St. Paul and Minneapolis. But what I see is that amongst minorities, nobody really participates in, like, the system, I guess, you know. No one is active in trying to uplift their community. It's a very screwed up mindset that people have. And it's kind of like, I hate the cops. They're the man. They're not going to do nothing. If you work with them, you're bad. You're a snitch. You're this. You can't trust them. You can't do this. Yeah, all that stuff exists, no doubt. Yes, there are snitches, right? There are cops that are dirty. There are cops that are going to set you up. They're going to do this, right? However, that's not going to, if you take that stance, you're never going to change that, right? And even the mentality is, if you want to change that, say like you are from this neighborhood, right? Say you're from the neighborhood and you become a cop. Now, are you going to have the respect of the neighborhood anymore, right? It used to be back in the day that the cops were from the neighborhoods that they lived in and that they grew up in. So everyone knew them. So there was like an aspect of respect. And in Minneapolis, by the way, or Minnesota in general, they're trying to put this back. This is something Keith Ellison, who is our, what is he now? Our attorney general, was talking about this live in the news briefing today, that they have been working on this for a year. And that's to have law enforcement people be from their communities, you know, instead of different areas, you know, which is normally the case. If you're from the area, right, if you're from the community, people know you, people grew up with you, you have a reputation with the people. It's easier to get people's respect, right? It's easier for people to be like, yo, I know that dude. All right, come on, man. You can cut people a break, too. They'll listen to you, you know? If you know, if you grew up with a dude, right? If you know the dude, you know the people, even though you know they're drug dealers, right? You know them. You know them. So what? You know what I mean? You know them. They'll have some respect for you, right? I'll give you an example that's somewhat similar, right? I mean, I can't arrest anyone, but I can tell you who all the drug dealers are in St. Paul that go through on that ride, the Route 64, right? I know they're selling drugs. I know their backpacks full of weed. I know that, right? The kids, I know all the kids, right? Because, though, I have built a relationship with them, right? I can tell them, like, yo, chill out. Don't sell any drugs. I'll give you a ride. Just get on. You know, sit in the back. Calm down. Just don't curse. You know, I'll give you all a ride where you want to go. Let's go there. You know, it command, because they see me every day, right? I talk with them. It's like, yo, all right. When I pull up, they're like, okay, that dude's cool. We can go with him. You know, I'm not like a rule enforcing type of person. Now, granted, you know, I'm not a police officer either. But even still, right? Even still, there's the transit police that sometimes ride with me, right? And the transit police have this same attitude, right? And generally, because the transit police, there's not a whole lot of them, so everybody knows who the transit police are too. But a lot of times, they are on the street, right, talking to the people. They know the people, right? So when you know, like I was saying, when you know people, you have a personal relationship with them, and therefore, it's harder for something negative to happen between the two of you. And this, I feel, is a big problem with the way the police work now. You know, they don't know the people, you know, they don't know. What if, right, check this out, the guy who killed Floyd, if he was from the 3rd Precinct, like lived around there, you might know him. Those people that were filming him might be like, yo, whatever your name is, come on, man, yo, let him alone, by calling him by his name. You know what I mean? You're only calling, they had to like look up, they were trying to read his badge number on air, right? But if he lived around there and someone saw him and recognized him, that's different. You know, there you can be like, right, if he's sitting on the guy, but people that he knows are calling him out by his name, that is a way different type of relationship, right? A way different type of interaction that's going on, right? But no, that's not the case. You know, nobody knows these people. To the people, they're just cops, right? And cops, they're not only just cops, they're cops that kill minorities. They kill the minorities, and that's it. Then they get away with it, too. And this has been boiling, like I said, the whole time I've been here. 10 years I've been here, and it just keeps happening and happening. I don't know when it's going to change. I think, in general, the country, the society has to change. We're deep into racism. But I think that by these types of things happening, it will create change. However, burning down the city, yes, it will create change. There's no doubt about that. It will create change. But people are going to remember that the city burned down as opposed to the reason why the city was burned down, right? They're not going to remember. They're going to be like, oh, there they are again. They burned down the city, you know. So let's enact laws, more laws. Let's do this. Like now there's a curfew. 8 p.m. 8 p.m. to 6 in the morning, there's a curfew going on. Not that many people are obviously abiding by it, but that's what's going on now. So now it's like a shutdown. Yeah, so I don't know what's going to happen. I just needed to vent out some words. Sorry if I'm a little everywhere. But I think what I'm going to do is stop this right here. Check out what's going on. And maybe record something tomorrow, see what how it plays out, or record something again sooner. Sorry that I didn't make any end of Ramadan posts or anything, but I was going to do that this week. However, this stuff happened, so we'll take it as it is. Catch you later. Thanks for listening. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.